Department of Veterans Affairs fails its 16th cybersecurity audit in a row. The State Department shuts down its unclassified email system, and the National Weather Service and the Postal Service report cyber attacks. It's all happening as agencies are deploying their continuous diagnostics and mitigation plans while they maintain their FISMA compliance environments. Mark Foreman's Vice President for IT Services and Cloud Initiatives at TASC, former Administrator of the Office of E-Government at the Office of Management and Budget, and looking at what the latest chain of events might mean for the future of cybersecurity policies. Each of these situations individually, Mark, isn't surprising because the threat landscape continues to become more complex. I guess what strikes me is that I see these piled one right on top of another at the same time, as I mentioned, that people are working on CDM plans, and I wonder what the problem is. Are we not able to deploy CDM fast enough? Is the threat landscape changing too quickly? Or is it possible that maybe people are just more comfortable with reporting threats and breaches than they've been in the past, Mark? Thank you for coming on today.
Well, thanks for having me, Francis. Let me just say a couple of things about that. First of all, I'm not sure anybody's more comfortable. I don't think anybody's ever comfortable reporting breaches. This seems to be a cyclical issue that FedCerts had, certainly going back to the Clinton administration on reporting. So I'm not sure that that's the underlying issue. I think a couple things are coming to fore. Number one, we're in basically a 3 to 4 year audit cycle and authorization to operate cycle. So generally, the legacy systems environment, which now includes everything from mainframes, really old stuff, to newer web-enabled client-server things, go through a three-year cycle, they get secured, and we kind of hit that point over the last year where they were up and they needed review, and some of them got it and some did not. But generally, that's a forcing function to make sure the controls are in place and things are secure at the system level. The other thing that's happening, though, is that we really are in society at this titanic shift to the cloud and IT as a service. And so some of the agencies are moving forward on that IT as a service model. Some of the agencies, I'd say virtually all of them, have legacy applications and tools that they simply can't get rid of. And so you have to kind of manage that old environment, and we hit this three-year cycle this time. At the same time, people are starting to adopt the new environment, and my sense is that that's accelerating really fast, and that's going to require a different type of security architecture or architecting the enterprise for secure operations.
Is a temporary architecture model we can expect to see then, Mark, where you're essentially running two systems simultaneously? You're building one, maybe you're building your new system in the cloud, and you're running your legacy system simultaneously until you can flip the switch one day and move from one to the other.
Yeah, I think that's right, but let me add in a third complexity. The last couple years, 3 years, a lot of agencies have tried to do kind of a mock cloud, private cloud, virtualized environment, and they haven't really gotten rid of the complexity of their environment. So they're full of kind of this patchwork architecture, and so you've got patches being deployed on patches, which, you know, my long-term thought here is the more complexity in the architecture, the more expensive it is and the harder it is to manage risk in that architecture.
I thought I'd heard all the cloud terms, but you just said mock cloud, and that's one I haven't heard before. What do you mean by that, Mark?
Well, look, we created data center consolidation with the notion that we were going to essentially create private clouds, but they didn't really leverage virtualization and the underlying technologies in the right way. And of course, the long-term issue that everybody has, not unique to government, is that you really have to build in security at the beginning. Well, you know, some of these applications are 20 years old. Security was never built in. And so that's the way this three-year cycle kicks in. But then, you know, as we've tried to do data center consolidation, which without really doing the standardization of the platforms, that compute environment that we need to leverage the cloud, we end up with saying we've consolidated into data centers, saying that that's a private cloud, but in reality, it's not. It checks the box on compliance, but it's really not leveraging this next wave of technology in the way that you need to get the benefits.
As we think about all of the cyber issues that I mentioned, Is that a particular? Are we just on a bad streak here right now, Mark? Or is this the way we can expect the threat landscape and the results of the threat landscape to look moving forward, where agencies are going to have these fairly large cyber issues on kind of an ongoing basis?
Well, as I talk to different people, I'd love to see much more take up on CDM and much more of the automated auditing type of approach and kind of automated assurance. But the longer term trend really, dates back a good 8 to 10 years when people started talking about autonomics. And in the early phases of the cloud, people used to call it grid computing, there was this theory that you could build in the resiliency and the self-healing or self-correcting capabilities. Now, what does that mean for federal agencies? We're going to start to see, with this movement to the cloud, a lot more focus on MTIPs and the TIC, or really the services, the managed service around managing the threat environment and the vulnerability environment, but from a very rapid moving environment. The things that our friends at the SANS Institute had talked about for many years, I think we're going to see coming to fruition over the next couple.
You mentioned TIC, and I know your successor, Karen Evans, if she's listening, her steam will come out of her ears as I ask this question. But we're still seeing agencies that are struggling with getting down to a smaller, more reasonable number of connections to the Internet, aren't we?
Yeah, right. The target state of one or two or three connections to the Internet for an agency has proven very difficult. That said, managing that environment and being able to detect and manage the threats at that point of transaction outside of your agency, we now know is critical, and becoming more so as we move to IT as a service environments. So I think a lot of us thought that you couldn't do both the TIC and cloud computing, because the implication is you're going to be running a lot of transactions, a lot of data outside of your environment. And I think what we're seeing is a transition in the MTIPS environment where for the foreseeable future, agencies move to a hybrid-type cloud environment that gives them the ability to provide that real-time monitoring and management of the security and privacy of their data. I think we're going to see a lot more focus on that over the next few years, maybe even more take-up in that in the MTIPs than on CDM.
Mark Foreman of TASC is former eGov administrator. You mentioned a moment ago, Mark, that you'd like to see faster uptake on CDM. What do you think the holdup is at this point? It's certainly not technological know-how. There are plenty of best practices out there from all over the government. DHS has talked about it. NIST has stuff out there. There's lots of material. Is it a funding issue? Is it a I just haven't gotten around to it issue? Or what do you see as the problems right now?
Well, I think there are a couple of constraints. Number one is the lack of investment in architectural analysis over the last few years. So we don't have a lot of the documentation easily accessible for that joint approach of optimizing the architecture and optimizing the security. I think that's one of the constraints. I think the other thing is just the sheer complexity of the pre-production and production environments. Complexity is the killer. It makes it so difficult and expensive to deploy some of the standard type approaches that you need to drive improved risk management and lower cost. And we know from the studies from the governance folks that the simpler and more manageable you make your information environment, your configuration and interface controls, essentially your enterprise architecture, the more parsimonious that is, the lower your cost and the easier it is to manage risk.
That complexity that you mentioned, Mark, are we stuck with that complexity, or is it possible to evolve that or devolve that in a way that simplifies these complexities?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. So you have three trends in the cloud environment right now. One is around Amazon Web Services, and that may be a good hybrid approach because basically all the standard types of infrastructure and platform services or licenses that you buy now, you can buy as a service in the AWS environment. You have the OpenStack movement, which is heavily supported and sponsored by Oracle and some of the other federal vendors that own a lot of the infrastructure intellectual property. And then you have this new and very rapid area of bare metal, which is basically bring what you got. And it's not clear to me that there's any kind of vision or pathway for the federal government down any one of those architectural platforms.
Are we far enough along that vision is necessary, or do we still have time to make that decision? And do we even have to decide one over the other, too?
No, but we don't have to decide one or the other, but we do have to start making some decisions, and now is the time. You know, government tends to lag industry, so these are being evolved in the industry. But at some point, this is going to be right in front of us, and we are living with this complexity. Sooner or later, we're going to have to start to re-architect the complexity out of our systems, and we have to do that by integrating the security parameters and standards. So the sooner we get on with it, we get this dual benefit of being more secure and reducing the operating cost of the infrastructure.
My colleague Jason Miller is just reporting at this hour that in response to the discussion about VA that I mentioned at the beginning failing their cybersecurity audit for the 16th year in a row, they're going to be putting a lot more resources toward that. So I'll go back to something we touched on at the beginning of our conversation but didn't expand on a lot. Is this really just a money problem, Mark, or are there other issues, maybe cultural issues, that will ultimately determine the success that an individual agency and the broader government has in trying to combat cybersecurity breaches?
Well, clearly there are money issues, but let me lay out the choices very clearly. We can get to security and continue this 3 to 4 year cycle with the authority to operate by triaging these legacy applications. That's very expensive. It sets us up for continuing investment in not just maintaining these old systems, but literally takes away money that we need for investment and modernization. But you can't operate systems that are insecure, so that's a trap that we want to protect against. Now, what's the cause of that? Well, largely the programs. You know, we like to say the CIO doesn't have much control. It's not the bureau CIOs that are the issue here. It's the program offices that are funded by Congress, and you've heard me say this before. The appropriators fund a program, and they have an expectation that the program office themselves are going to be self-sufficient, and so the program offices go out and buy their own stuff and create their own applications, throw it over the wall to the CIOs then to manage in a common production environment, never having architected security in, never having, you know, again, thought about, geez, are we going to be an OpenStack or a bare metal or some of these emerging architectures for the cloud. And so we need the CIOs to make the investments in not just the governance within themselves, but really figuring out what are those future architectures and creating that environment, working with, I believe, the deputy secretaries and deputy administrators, the COOs of these agencies, to figure out that modernization blueprint. You know, we used to talk about enterprise architecture, and it's such a techie term. Great for the IT people, terrible for the politicians. We've got to start to talk again about what should be the key components of a modernization blueprint that's going to give us a secure and highly cost-effective infrastructure.